All right, and welcome to May 3rd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson.
I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do the show is because I'm a proud patriotic American. And hopefully you're listening because you are also one as well. Another reason why I do the show is for the men and women serving in the military. If you are serving or if you have ever served, thank you for your service. Don't forget to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Let me know what you think about today's episode. This is an interactive show, scholars, so I want you to get involved. Let me know what your take is on today's show. So thank you very much for that. Let's begin the show as we normally do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Woohoo! America! And now on to today's program. Good fellow Paul Vario dies. Margaret Mitchell wins the Academy Awards for Gone with the Wind. The Japanese war trials begin. And thousand-pounder monster pig is put down.
So, let's get started now.
1988. Rest in peace, good fella Big Pauly. Paul Vario, mobster, loan shark, hijacker, extortionist, wise guy. He was arrested at the age of 12, where he spent 7 months for truancy from school. He grew up to be 6'3", weighing 250 pounds with a really mean look. As a kid, he joined the Lucchese crime family, running errands, if you will, for them. He and his brothers owned several businesses in Brooklyn, including a cab company, shop, and a pizzeria. A young man named Henry Hill began working for his cab company. Pauly started hijacking trucks, leaving JFK Airport to the point to where he ruled all of the cargo coming into the city. If there was an investigation, he had the clout to stage a union walkout to divert the feds. During the 60s, gambling in East Brooklyn was only allowed under Pauly's direction, and you can believe he got his cut, around $25,000 in his pocket every single day. By the 1970s, the FBI was on to Pauly, now head of the Italian-American Civil Rights Organization, where racketeering and other charges led to 3 years, a year and a half which Pauly would serve. He and Henry were close, and when Henry got into trouble, Pauly used his influence to get him out early. Of course, in the 1980s, Hill would rat everyone out, including Pauly, now 73 years old. Hill would die, according to the legend, of natural causes. Miraculously, not with a bullet in the head. So why didn't Pauly take him down? Or for that matter, any of the other 50 mobsters he ratted out? Who knows if he didn't? Hill was only 69 after all, and I'm not pinning Hill's death on Pauly, but Pauly did like to keep a low profile. Something you just won't see in the great Martin Scorsese flick. Rest in peace, Pauly.
1937. Margaret Mitchell wins Pulitzer Prize for Gone with the Wind. I'm not going to get into the details of this book simply because in 2014, it was named the second most popular book in America, second only to the Bible. I thought some trivia about the movie would be more fun. For instance, Clark Gable didn't want to be in the movie because he considered it a chick flick. Again, this is movie trivia, not book trivia. The African-American cast who starred in the movie was not allowed to attend the premiere screening. Here's another fact. Scarlett O'Hara's mom was played by Barbara O'Neill and was 28 years old. Vivian Leigh, who of course played Scarlett, was 25. Here's another one. Clark Gable almost quit when he found out that his character would have to cry in the movie. Also, did you know that Hattie McDaniel became the first African-American to be nominated for and win an Academy Award? It was also the first time an African-American was invited as a guest for the awards. Final note about the movie, Clark Gable worked a total of 71 days and received over $120,000, whereas Vivian Leigh worked 125 days and only received 25 grand. Yep. 1946. Japanese war crimes trial begins, organized by Douglas MacArthur. Now, of course, there were lots of these trials, but the one I'm talking about specifically are the ones in Tokyo. It lasted 2.5 years, and its purpose was to try the leaders of the Empire of Japan for three types of war crimes. Class A crimes were for those involved in a joint conspiracy to start and wage war, and were intended for high-ranking cabinet members. Class B crimes were for those who committed conventional atrocities, or crimes against humanity, and Class C were reserved for those in the planning, ordering, authorization, or failure to prevent such transgressions at higher levels in the command structure. 7 defendants were sentenced to death, 16 to life terms, 2 to lesser terms, 2 died during the trials, and 1 was found to be insane.
2015, thousand-pounder monster pig is put down. Big Bill, the world's largest pig, weighing 1,051 pounds, measured 9 feet. Bacon. 11-year-old Jameson Stone, who spent his young life hunting with his pa, killed his first deer when he was 5 years old. But on this day in 2015, he ran into monster pig, shot him 8 times with his 50 cal, and then chased him through the woods for 3 hours until he shot him dead center. We Americans take our pigs seriously because, well, we love bacon. The biggest pig on record would be Big Bill, 2,552 pounds, used to be on display at the Chicago World's Fair in 1933. And no, I don't know how they weighed the pig. I know they didn't have a lot of truck scales back then, so maybe they used a pig scale. Big Bill broke its oinking leg and would have to be put down, and then was stuffed by a taxidermist, and current whereabouts are unknown. Then there's Hogzilla. Hogzilla was estimated to be 12 feet and over 1,000 pounds, but when it died, a team of forensic scientists busted out a tape measure and found that he was only 8 feet tall. Anyway, I don't mean to bore you with this story, haha. But I know I'm going hog wild over here. Just hamming it up, you know?
So that is it, my friends, for May 3rd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out my website at joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. I'm all into suggestions.
How many times have you seen Goodfellas? Or Gone with the Wind, for that matter?
World War II fans, were the Japanese war crime trials fair, in your opinion?
Do you like bacon as much as I do?
So yeah, let me know what you think, and take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on the website. And on tomorrow's program, the Chicago Haymarket Affair, the Kent State Murderers,
and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
So until then, thanks for being great patriotic Americans, everyone. We will see you tomorrow.